Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mind Body Green's beauty podcast, Clean Beauty School. I am your host and Mind Body Green's beauty director, Alexandra Engler. On this podcast, we explore beauty through the lens of well-being. And on today's episode, we are talking about how to keep your smile healthy. This is actually one of my favorite topics to talk about, but I don't get to talk about oral health a lot. So I'm super excited for today's episode. I couldn't have a better guest to do it. So without further ado, Dr. Victoria Weitzman, welcome.
Thank you, Alexandra. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining. I can't wait to get into the logistics. You yourself have a beautiful smile, so I know that I'm going to be learning a lot. But as I always do, I'd love to let the audience and myself get to know you a little bit better and hear your story. So, you know, what was your journey into medicine and more specifically dentistry?
Yeah, so I have always wanted to be in the medical field. I remember being a kid and always wanting to be some kind of doctor. I also went to art school growing up. So I found that dentistry, especially cosmetic dentistry, was actually the perfect blend of the two. And, you know, I went to undergrad and grad school locally. I went to NYU Dental and then did my training in cosmetic dentistry sort of nationally. I was, you know, California, Chicago. So that really gave me the opportunity to travel and meet some of the top dentists in my field. And that really showed me that they absolutely loved what they did. And more importantly, I just witnessed all these incredible transformations that they created for these people. And then after that, I was hooked and knew I wanted to be a cosmetic dentist. And I've been practicing in New York ever since. I've also branched out to Los Angeles. So I go between the two. So I have a practice here and there.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, you know, I was curious about the cosmetic side of it and why that piqued your interest. But, you know, you bringing up the fact that you went to art school and, you know, that connection, I can kind of see where the interest comes from. Like, you have an appreciation for aesthetics inherently. Do I have that correct?
Yes, 100%. There's such an art to what we do. It is so visual. It's such a creative process. So in my practice, I don't do things like fillings. I don't do root canals. I don't do surgery. Everything is a very visual, creative process. You know, we go through a whole smile designing the smile. We look at things holistically. We look at the entire face. And when I went to art school, my favorite thing to draw was portraits. So naturally, looking at the face for me is like so interesting and just creating harmony and balance. So yeah, it's such a creative process. Obviously, there's a foundation of science that's all built upon, but the creativity is what really kind of sparked my interest in the field.
So this question is something that I always ask up top because I feel that it helps color the conversation later. What is your beauty philosophy?
I think that is such an interesting question. Beauty philosophy is so subjective. I think, you know, obviously, let's just look at it physically. It varies. It's so subjective culture to culture, but I think we really need to reimagine how we define beauty. I believe it really comes from within. I know in society now, when we think beauty, we immediately think the physical and everything that we see. But in my opinion, beauty is really how we show up in this world. You know, it's kindness, confidence, authenticity, empowering others, grace. It's how we leave others feeling when we leave the room. So I really think like cultivating that inner beauty is the key to beauty, you know, and just redefining how we think about beauty, I think is so important.
I think one thing that oftentimes gets lost in the conversation with oral care is just how important oral health is for overall health. Your smile, your teeth, your oral health in general is such a like pillar of our overall health. It has connections to the, you know, your digestive health. It has connections to like internal inflammation. It has connections to all these sort of things. So I do also want to ask, like, what is your health philosophy? Because even if you are on the aesthetic side, health plays such a huge role in what you do.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is such a great question because I also think that wellness is not just one thing. I think taking a holistic 360 approach to wellness is the way we should start viewing wellness. It's not just about physical health. It encompasses mental and emotional health as well. And we also have to understand and realize that nothing in our body exists in a silo. It's so interconnected. No one system can exist on its own. There's, you know, symbiosis to the way systems function. There's a synergy to the way all of our systems function. So looking at the mouth, for instance, you know, I can't think of one body system that it doesn't affect. So, and then, you know, as far as well-being and wellness too, just to take it to the next level beyond, you know, the physical, I think it's also just the way we live, our mindset. You know, people talk about dental hygiene, but I also think mental hygiene is really important, and clean living, which I know you'd appreciate. So I think well-being, you know, a 360 approach, a 360 philosophy that encompasses not just the physical, but the mental, the emotional, and really like stressing the interconnectedness of all the systems.
So I want to ask you about what specifically is dentofacial aesthetics, just because I feel like when people hear, you know, you work in dentistry, their head immediately just goes to my twice a year cleanings. But that's not all that dentistry has to offer. And, you know, you occupy such a unique part of the space. So for anybody who doesn't know out there, like, what exactly is this field?
What I do in my practice is cosmetic dentistry. And that is, you know, I do veneers, I do smile makeovers, I do full mouth rehabilitations. So like I said, we don't do the standard, you know, fillings, root canal surgery. We really work with people on empowering themselves through transforming their smile. When we do that, we don't just look at the smile on its own. It really is one third of the face. And I think that in the beauty industry and even in the dental industry, people often look at the smile as just this, you know, solo part of the face. And I think we need to look at things holistically again, you know, look at the entire face, look at the features, look at the skin color, look at the hair color, the eye color, and see how do we create a smile that doesn't make the person look different, but really enhances what they have, create balance and harmony within the face. And that's what we mean when we say dentofacial aesthetics, is how, what role does the smile play in overall facial beauty? You know, when you look at the face, you don't just look at the eyes, you don't just look at the nose, you don't just look at the mouth. You have to look at everything as a whole. And that's what we were talking about earlier with, you know, my beauty philosophy. And I think it's holistic as well. It's not perfection. We're not, you know, I find a lot of times these days people are chasing perfection, but that really isn't the goal. The goal is to create harmony and balance and confidence too. I feel like we're not really creating smiles, although we are, but we're really trying to enhance confidence. That's our main goal.
Sure. Yeah. I've seen on your website, something called, you know, anti-aging dentistry. And I think this is really interesting because I think people forget that your smile changes as you age, especially in beauty. We love to talk about wrinkles. We love to talk about dark spots. We love to talk about, you know, sagging skin, but we forget about the other elements of the face that change as we age, and that to address facial aging, it's really important to address the whole picture. It's something that I've started becoming more mindful of. Like, you know, I've started talking about bone health as it relates to aging. I've started talking about like muscle balance as it relates to aging, all these various things. And it kind of sounds like, you know, that's what this is. It's like this anti-aging dentistry is really about addressing the signs of aging in your smile. Yes?
Yes, definitely. So when we talk about anti-aging dentistry, what we mean is that the first signs of aging often show up in your mouth. Remember, it's one of the most parts of the body. So what that looks like is, you know, your skin loses collagen and volume, but so do the teeth. The bones in your face change, the musculature changes. So what can we do as cosmetic dentists to help the anti-aging process or help reverse those signs? So when we talk about anti-aging dentistry, we do procedures in the office like full mouth rehabilitations. We can give back the volume that's been lost with time. right, to sort of reverse the clock. One of the first signs of aging too is chipping and discoloration. So these are all things that we address with our smile makeovers. You know, we can often turn the clock back at least 10 or 15 years just with a smile makeover. And I think you're right, you know, with anti-aging, the mouth is really one of the first places it shows up. Right. So it's a couple of different factors. It's loss of volume. It's loss of collagen. It's loss of, you know, elasticity. It's changes in the gum levels. You know, it's changes in the color of the teeth. There might be some wear and chipping. And these are all things that happen with time and they're normal, but there are definitely things we can do to address them.
Specifically with gums, I think that's something that we don't really ever talk about in beauty, but I do feel like gum health plays such an important role in your overall, you know, facial aesthetics, but specifically as you age, because we know that a lot of issues can happen with your gums as you age. So what specifically do you see in terms of the gums?
I think the gums are really important. I think a lot of times the focus is just on teeth and the smile, but the gums are really the foundation. The gums and the bone are really the foundation of the mouth and the teeth. And what we see with time is, you know, you can have things like gum recession, where the bone levels can come down a little bit and then the gums soon follow. One of the most common things I see is inflammation of the gums, right? And we know that inflammation is a problem, not just in the gums, but in the entire body. That's what we're always trying to work on and prevent, right? So I think gum inflammation is one of the most common things I see, you know, gingivitis and things like that. But what I most often see is, you know, signs of gum recession, signs of some bone loss. And these have to do with, you know, genetics. Sometimes it's just part of the aging process. But I think that, you know, we're given a certain set of genes. And I always say this, you know, the whole field of epigenetics, we're given our set of genes. And I think this goes back into our wellness conversation too. But I think that the decisions we make and how we take care of ourselves really affect how those genes are expressed.
Interesting. And I do want to get into the lifestyle component as well, because, you know, obviously what you do in your practice is very specific, but I am sure the lifestyle element does play a role in your work. You know, what are some of the sort of like lifestyle changes that can people make that can, you know, better ensure smile health later on? Like, what are those small changes that you can make day to day?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, what changes we can make to help, you know, ensure that our smile is healthy. I usually look at this from the top down, you know, like first, how do you take care of yourself in general? I think there's a huge connection between oral health and systemic health, right? So the better care you take care of yourself overall, the better health your mouth will be in, right? So what does that look like? You know, stress reduction, that's going to help with grinding, right? Hydration, that's going to help with the pH of your mouth. So there's so many things that we can do systemically on a broad level and a high level to really promote oral health. But then if we take it down, you know, what are the actual things that we're doing every day? You know, it's obviously using a sonic toothbrush, changing the head, not forgetting to change the head of the toothbrush every couple of months, using a mouthwash that's not alcohol based, flossing, using a water pick, tongue brushing, taking an oral probiotic is really helpful. And then also, you know, taking just supplements in general that are good for your body, those will be good for your mouth and teeth as well.
What supplements do you recommend for folks? Do you have a routine that you stick with?
I actually prefer myself liquid vitamins. I take, they're organic. I also take minerals as well. I think those are really important. I think there are so many micronutrients and minerals that are missing in our diets, whether it's due to like the quality of the soil that our food comes from, or whatever it is. But there's so many, not just nutrients, but those micronutrients that have such a important part of pathways in our body that are responsible for health that might be missing in our diets. So I do that. I take probiotics and I do that every day. And I think that's so important, not just for overall health, but I feel like oral health too.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned your point about drinking water and how it balances the pH of the mouth, which brings me into the subject of the oral microbiome, which I'm very interested in. And, you know, pH kind of touches on that. So I'm curious. I know that the research is, you know, still in its infancy, and we're still learning so much more about the microbiome in general. But What is the role of the oral microbiome and smile health?
Yeah. Well, I think the oral microbiome is really important because not only does it play a role in promoting dental health and oral health, but overall health, right? So if you think about it, the mouth is really the gateway to overall health. This is really where it all begins. So any, you know, the microbiome that's in your mouth is going to affect the microbiome that's in your digestive tract. And we know how important that is, right? So it affects dental health. It affects the cavities you're getting or not getting. It affects the level of inflammation and gingivitis in your mouth. It also has a huge role in immune system support. You know, the oral microbiome actually communicates and educates the immune system and kind of regulates the immune response. And when we talk about immune response, we're really talking about inflammation. And then when we're talking about inflammation in the mouth, we're really talking about, well, if it affects the mouth, how is that affecting systemic inflammation? So you see, the oral microbiome isn't just important for the oral cavity, but it's really important, you know, systemically, you know, so digestive health, also breath freshness, which, you know, is a more practical way of looking at it, right? So what causes halitosis? It's really the microbiome in our mouth. Also, nutrient digestion, you know, that oral microbiome will help promote digesting the right nutrients. So it's really important to have the right balance of bacterial colonies in our mouth, you know, the good ones versus the bad ones, because there's a certain set of bacteria that's anaerobic and promote gingivitis and cavities. So yeah, I mean, it all begins with the mouth, but you know, when you look at the layers of effects it has, it really goes systemically.
Yeah. It's so, so fascinating. Everything that you just said, because, you know, to your point, like it really does all start in this little area that, you know, it's so important to keep healthy.
Totally. It's interesting. And that's why I always say, you know, people look at the mouth as this little area, right? But it truly is the gateway to overall health. You know, it's really where everything begins. It's the food we put in our mouth. It's the oral microbiome that affects everything. And it's interesting because, you know, when I do exams on patients, you know, you could actually see things that are going on systemically in the mouth. Often we'll get signs and symptoms in the mouth of other conditions or issues happening, you know, like for instance, diabetes, you know, we see signs of that. And there's just such an interconnectedness between the two, between, you know, the oral cavity and, you know, cardiovascular health. There's such a huge connection between, you know, the inflammation that happens in the mouth and potentially inflammation that happens in blood vessels. Also an interconnectedness between the bacteria that's in the mouth and the bacteria that travels into our vascular system. Particularly for women, when you look at pregnancy and hormonal changes, I mean, that's a big one too. There's a huge link between periodontal or gum disease and like low birth weights or early pregnancies.
Whoa, that's fascinating.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of hormonal changes that happen in your body, let's say during menopause or, you know, during your menstrual cycle or going on a different type of birth control, that's going to affect your oral cavity too. It affects every system. And also if we look at, say, autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, right, which women are actually more prone to, there's a huge correlation between, you know, inflammation in your mouth, periodontal disease, and being prone to things like rheumatoid arthritis.
You're blowing my mind. I knew some of this, like I knew the connection to cardiovascular health, but oh my God, autoimmune as well? This is wild.
Yeah, totally. And the one that fascinates me the most actually is, you know, there's research now about the correlation between periodontal health and cognitive health, like neurodegenerative diseases. So there is what they're seeing now, a correlation between, you know, inflammation in the mouth, periodontal disease, and things like Alzheimer's. So It affects every system, even the kidney. So everything from the top down, it's really about the interconnectedness between all the systems. That's why I think it's so important to take a 360 approach. When we think about oral care, when we think about wellness, it's not just your mouth. It's really your entire body and your well-being.
Yeah, wow. That is so fascinating. It really just points to this idea. And as we continue to learn more through research, it's that just how interconnected all of these organs are and how they all play such a vital role in each other's health. And I mean, it's like scary in a lot of ways because you think about, all the bad things that could go wrong. But it's also, I think, very empowering in a lot of ways because, you hear these facts and it is jarring, but it's also, in some ways, you feel like you have a little bit more control over the situation, right?
I mean, 100%. Yes, you're right. It can be a little bit scary to think about the interconnectedness of all the systems. But I agree with you. I think it is so empowering. Like my philosophy in my practice and just the way I approach life is that I really believe in the power of transformation. I think that there's a certain alchemy to life that we could bring to it. And that comes from the decisions we make to empower ourselves, to empower our health. So not being like a backseat driver in our own lives, like we can make health decisions. Having knowledge is empowering, but there comes a certain responsibility with it too. And with responsibility comes the need to take action and make decisions. And I think the day and age we live in is so exciting because we have all this info. We're in the age of information and it's only getting more. We're only getting more information. The research is only happening at such rapid rate with the advent of technology and AI that helps us with data and data-driven decisions. I mean, we're living in this era of information where we're empowered to make the best decisions for ourselves. And, we could take that concept of the interconnectedness and yeah, we can look at it as scary, but we can also, like you said, look at it as empowering.
Wow, that was so insightful and so interesting. I want to go down a rabbit hole, and I could go down a rabbit hole all day with you on this, and just learn from you. But I also want to talk a little bit about, the cosmetic end, which is obviously your focus. I think you're seeing a lot of talk right now in the zeitgeist about veneers and, because I think you're seeing a lot of celebrities talk about how they've gotten them. There's just more of awareness. And, I'm curious, are you seeing that as well? Are you seeing more people interested in going down that route?
That's a great question. I happen to be a cosmetic dentist, so you're asking the right person. I mean, my practice focuses exclusively on smile makeovers and veneers and full mouth reconstruction. So I may be a little biased, or the patients that come see me primarily for cosmetic work. Most of the time when people come to my practice, they're really looking to feel better about themselves. They're really looking for an elevated sense of confidence. And while I believe that, transformation starts within, I think that things we do outwardly too can help facilitate that. So, we assess what the patient's goals are. Oftentimes, the most exciting part for me, what I get to witness, is that with a procedure that could take, a month or two, we're able to virtually eliminate some vulnerabilities they've had their entire life. And their confidence just skyrockets. They're now able to take the next step. It's often, a stepping stone for other changes they want to make in their life. Yes, I do believe it's a popular procedure. We have patients that come in all the time for it. I do think it comes from a place that's not just what we see visually. I think there are reasons why people want to do this. There are emotional reasons. There are mental reasons. I call it, mental dental. There's always a mental and emotional component to why people want to do this. So, yes, it's definitely still popular. I think the way we're doing it now has changed. I think the standards are definitely elevated and higher. We want things to look beautiful, but still natural. And our patients are really part of that process with us. It's a highly collaborative process where we actually lead with what the patient's, goals are, and what they're comfortable with. Result they want to achieve.
What are you finding that people are typically coming in to ask for? You know, is it like gum lines coming up a lot? Is it, I mean, I guess I don't even like know what people would ask.
Yeah. So it's a couple of different things. Remember, you know, when people think about the smile, they think just teeth, but the smile really it's the teeth, it's the gums, it's the profile, it's the lower third of the face. This goes back to the whole concept of dental facial aesthetics, anti-aging dentistry. So people come in for a lot of different reasons. Yes, it could be the gum levels. It could be the size of the teeth. Maybe they've lost volume. Maybe they don't like the shape. Maybe they've had orthodontics and braces and the teeth are straight, but they're still not loving how the smile looks. Maybe they feel like their teeth and their smile just don't create harmony with their face and they're looking for more balance. So typically when patients come in, they're pretty open and we go through a smile of, you know, a process of smile design where we assess the goals and see, okay, well, how can we accentuate the entire face with the smile? So it's not just about the smile. It's about how do we make a bigger impact, you know, for patients' overall facial beauty. And not, it's, you know, it's not just about beauty. It's always about health. Health is really the foundation of everything we do. And they normally go hand in hand. So in the process of creating a healthier smile, oftentimes the end result will be a more beautiful smile. You know, when we're addressing all the issues that they've come in with, that is normally the side benefit. So you can't have one without the other. There's, you know, the beauty of a smile, there's the health, and there's also the functionality of the smile too. So those are the things that we have to look at.
No, it's super fascinating. And I do feel like people are so much more interested in this now, just because there's more of an awareness of that this is even an option. Because I do feel like people just maybe just didn't know that this was a route that they could take and that they could make a decision to, you know, make tweaks to their smile for their confidence and et cetera.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm of the mindset, you know, that you live one life and, you know, how do you create a life where you're most confident and comfortable in your own skin. You know, I don't think there's any, you know, sometimes there's stigma around things in the aesthetic world, but I think that the benefit of the confidence that it brings so many other changes. I think with time, the stigma is just getting less and less and it's just becoming more and more common.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I definitely think just the openness and the willingness to talk about it is a big influence on that. And I think people just see how common decisions like this are in a lot of ways. And I feel like maybe just people didn't realize that people around them were, you know, doing this. It's not just people, like, it's not just celebrities. It's, you know, everyday people who are making decisions like this.
Totally. And we see from all ages, 17 to 77, and there really isn't a lot of conversation around this, like in the media, but it is a super common and prevalent thing.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. You know, we've talked a lot about the mental health aspect of it. And I do think that's like a interesting topic to dive in a little bit deeper because there is such a connection between your smile and mental health, right? Like we know through research that just by smiling puts you in a better mood, or, you know, standing up straighter puts you in a better mood. And, you know, doing these little things can ultimately change your outlook, even if it's just briefly and in the moment. And I do feel like that's something to be said, that if you are not confident in your smile, you're probably not smiling as much. And like, what does that mean for your mental health? And there's a ripple effect to all of this. So, you know, I'm curious, you've talked quite a bit about confidence and mental health throughout this episode, but just like more specifically to diving into that point, you know, what sort of changes do you see with your own patients? And what is that mental health component that you experience?
I think the mental health component that we witness and that patients experience is really one of the more transformative things that we see. Yes, we see the aesthetic part of it, the aesthetic piece, but the confidence that patients walk in with, say a month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months after they've gotten this procedure and now feel more confident, it's just palpable. You know, it's the way they carry themselves. It's the way they speak. It's their confidence in a professional setting. It's their confidence in social settings. It's paramount to their psychological well-being, the same way I think it is to addressing any insecurity you may have. You know, I think when there's a choice of giving yourself the confidence or working on that confidence in any area of your life, I think you have to take it. And if for some people it's the smile, then it's the smile. And for some people it's something else like going to the gym, then that's it for that other person. But everyone comes into this life with some insecurities. And like I said, this day and age, we have the technology and the ability to make those changes for ourselves. So, you know, the overall connection between our smile and our mental health, I think, is huge. I think it's important for our psychological well-being and the way we show up. And also, you know, just metaphorically, you know, the mouth is how we speak. So I always take it to the next level. Like, yes, it's how your mouth looks, but it's also really important, you know, the oral connection, or the dental and mental connection is important. You know, the words that we use, the way we speak about ourselves, the way we tell our story, the way we speak to others is really important for mental health too. So that's just like a metaphorical take on, you know, the mouth. But I think the way we use our mouth and the way we use our words has a huge connection to our mental health and the mental health of those around us too.
I could not agree with you more. You're on the right podcast to be talking about that sort of stuff.
They say the power of the tongue, you know, and I think that oftentimes, and I've gotten into this rut myself, it's, you know, how do we tell our own story? And then that becomes our story and we become stuck in that story. And then we have the power to change that story. We have the power to change how we think about and speak about ourselves and things in our lives. And I think that really is the foundation of the mindset that we need to make things happen.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think these changes that we make day to day and these mental shifts that we make day to day and these small choices that we, you know, today I'm choosing to show up in the world. Today I'm choosing to speak about myself this way. You know, I think all that stuff really does matter. And I think it matters in a way that you can never study and you can never, you know, put on a research paper, but it matters to you and it matters to me. So yeah.
Exactly.
Before I get into how you take care of yourself, I just want to end this, you know, part of the episode by asking, you know, what folks at home, maybe they don't have the resources to visit somebody like you. Maybe they don't, you know, live in New York or LA. Maybe they don't have the budget for it, whatever. But maybe they do, you know, want help with their smile. What are some changes that people could do at home that make a big impact on the aesthetics of their smile, like teeth whitening, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if someone can't visit us in New York or LA, obviously there are things you could do at home. I mean, you could do teeth whitening. That's usually like the easiest, fastest way to get that quick pop of, you know, brightness. I think the most important thing is having a system, having a little bit of discipline around a self-care system. I think self-care is so important. Oral care and oral health and oral wellness is such a big part of self-care. And having a little bit of discipline and a system around that is important. You know, using an electric toothbrush, using a tongue scraper, using a water pick, using an alcohol-free mouthwash, taking an oral probiotic. These are all things that can help promote oral wellness. And that is the foundation of a beautiful smile. I really think there's nothing more beautiful than a healthy smile when it comes to oral care.
Yeah. No, great tips. And it's just simple stuff that people can do every day. Okay, let's talk about you and how you take care of yourself. Obviously, we've talked throughout this episode about like some of the oral care basics, but I'm interested in your specific oral care routine. You have such a beautiful smile. So tell me exactly what you do.
So as a dentist, what I do for my oral care is I use an electric toothbrush. I brush twice a day. I use a water pick. All the things I said, I use a tongue scraper, mouthwash. I try to stay hydrated. My overarching theme is that overall wellness is also the key to oral wellness. You know, they're not separate systems. They're all connected. I think just taking the best care of myself that I can physically, mentally, and emotionally sort of is the overarching theme of my oral care routine too. Obviously I do specific things, but that has had a huge benefit for me. Even, you know, the vitamins that I take, I know that they'll have oral benefits. Avoiding sugary foods, avoiding snacking. So these are all things that are good for you in general. Anything you can do to, you know, prevent overall systemic inflammation is going to help with oral care as well. But as far as my day-to-day routine, I definitely recommend an electric toothbrush. Flossing is so important. I know people don't love to do it, but it is so key that for all the bacteria lives as well as on your tongue. And avoiding, you know, okay, so I am a big coffee person, and I'm not saying avoid coffee, but any kind of acidic foods, anything that's going to affect the pH balance of your mouth, because that affects everything. You know, let's say you've had something acidic, you know, drink water after to help maintain that pH or rebalance the pH of your mouth. So all those things are really important.
I actually have a very specific question about coffee that pertains just to me and my own habits that I want to know selfishly is, okay, so I wake up, I brush my teeth, I make my cup of coffee, I'm doing my face care. Can I drink coffee like right after brushing my teeth, or should I give it some time?
I mean, you could. You give it a 1 minute. You could. What I would do is after you've had your coffee, I would rinse with water because it's acidic, and just to help regulate that pH of your mouth.
Okay. Got it. I've always been curious about that. I'm like, should I like wait some time after I brush my teeth before I jump into the coffee, or?
Yeah. Otherwise your coffee tastes a little minty. I've done that myself.
Yeah. Okay. So now I want to talk about your overall routine. You have beautiful skin as well. So any skincare steps that you're willing to share, please do.
So I have to say, so with my schedule, I don't have a lot of time. I know we're all so busy, and you know, I go between New York and LA, and I have to be very thoughtful about my own routines. And so I believe because of that, there's still a certain elegance and beauty to simplicity. A simple routine is best for me because it's easy to stick with, right? I can't do like 5 different things for my skin, 10 different things for my hair. So I try to find the anchors in each of those. You know, what are the things that are going to have the most impact for me? So for instance, with skin, like obviously SPF, using an SPF moisturizer, we know that SPF is the number one thing you could do for anti-aging and keeping your skin looking healthy and avoiding, you know, signs of aging and protect you from the sun. So for me, like that's one of the biggest things. Also, like a vitamin C serum is important, you know, when it comes to skin. So obviously washing makeup off at the end of the day, things like that. So I try to keep my routines honestly simple and easy to stick with, and routines that I could do while I'm traveling. You know, I think people need a little bit more simplicity these days. So that's kind of what I try to do with my skin. Same thing with my hair. You know, I try to do like a bond repair. Obviously with blonde hair, I need to do that, a mask. And I keep it pretty simple during the week. I try to use hot tools or anything like that, you know, and try to preserve the integrity of my hair. Yeah.
I get that. I used to dye my hair blonde, and it's an uphill battle to keep it healthy sometimes, but
it sure is. Every week I try to, you know, give my hair a break a bit. I don't use hot tools much unless I need to. And I think those moisturizing masks are great. I love like things like the coconut oil for the hair and stuff like that. Natural things. Again, simplicity, things I could take with me when I travel, things I can do quickly. I just know myself. I know I'm not going to sit there and do a 10 step thing.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Okay. And then, you know, the last thing I want to ask you about is your overall wellness must-haves. You know, I leave this question up to people's interpretation just because everybody has a different definition of wellness. For some people, it's taking a daily walk. For some people, it's meditation. For some people, it's calling their mom. So, you know, what are your daily must-haves?
I think there are so many things that go into a well-being routine. I mean, I could talk about this forever. I think there's so many different pillars to this, but you know, when we talk about well-being, the first thing that comes to mind is mindfulness, mental health, emotional health. That to me looks like a couple of different things. I'm a huge nature lover, so I will go for long walks. I like to meditate. I like to try to stay grounded as much as I can. I've recently come across this term and technique, you know, emotional self-regulation. You can actually wake up and choose the emotion you're going to feel that day. Where I think this day and age, we're more reacting to what's around us. And the idea behind this is that we can actually choose how we're going to feel before the day even happens. That is the biggest shift for me. This is a concept I've come across recently. So, you know, you can wake up and say, well, today I will feel joy, I will feel hope, and I will feel inspired. And sure enough, these things start to show up in your life. Because I find in past for me, you know, being in a very usually high stress situations with long cases with patients and so many things going on during the day, I was coming from a place a little bit more of reactivity. Right. And when you start to wake up and say, no, I won't feel that way today. It was such a huge shift for me to say, I can actually choose how I'm going to feel today. And that's been the biggest breakthrough for me this year. And it's all a work in progress. Oh my gosh, because obviously we're all, you know, learning how to do this, but that was a big shift for me. So, you know, breath work is something that I do sometimes, quieting the mind. Also, sleep, getting enough sleep is important. I don't always do that, but I try. It's definitely one of my goals. I think waking up early is a big part of my wellness routine. I think the only way that I can actually get all the things done that I need to get done without getting too overwhelmed is getting up early, like 4:30 or 5. And I don't do it every day. I don't do it every day, but I think that there's this time in the morning before the sun comes up that is just so quiet and full of hope, right? And it feels like you've got forever when really you've only got like 2 hours. But to me, that's like the ideal time to get things done quietly. And it just really makes the rest of the day go more smoothly. You know, I've taken things off of my to-do list, right? And it's really helped me deal with that sense of overwhelm. Because for me personally, I feel like that sense of overwhelm is something that I've had to deal with a lot in the past. And even now, currently, sometimes, you know, traveling to practices, so many other projects we're working on. So really being intentional about how I spend my time and my schedule, you know. And then the other is, you know, movement, walking, exercising. For me, that looks like I'm more of a nature person. I prefer to be outside. And I think nature is so healing. So I try to spend as much time in nature as I can.
Yeah. I was supposed to talk to you today because something that I have been like struggling with is exactly what you're saying. Like, I just feel like I'm in a moment in time where it's like all I'm doing is just reacting to things. Like, I'm just constantly like putting out fires and like dealing with things that are outside of my control in a lot of ways. But you're so right. Like, I have a choice. I can choose and I am in control, even if I don't always feel like it.
This is a breakthrough for me recently. So I'm actively working on this as well. And it was such, you know, I was speaking to someone and they told me about this concept. I'm like, you mean that I can wake up and choose how my day is going to go? And that was just insane to me because I'm going through the day like, oh, I hope this day goes well. I hope calls go well. But I'm like, no, well, I'm going to choose to feel optimistic about this. You know, I'm going to choose to feel hopeful. I'm going to choose to feel joy. And that's been, you know, a major shift. But also a couple of other things. I mean, I could talk about well-being for a long time. There are a few other things I don't want to forget to mention because I think they're so important to me. Living with a sense of purpose, really getting in touch with your why is such a huge part of well-being. Being connected to something bigger than yourself, whether it be a purpose, a mission, a higher power, whatever it is, whatever that is for you. I think, you know, if we go through life with self-serving intentions, we will never reach the level of success that we want to reach. If we go through life connected to something bigger than ourselves, whatever that is, with a greater purpose, I mean, I think the sky's the limit and everything's just going to come together, you know, to move you forward.
Yeah. I love that. What a powerful note to end on. Wow, I feel like this episode went in so many directions that I wasn't expecting, and I loved every single one of them.
Good. Well, thank you. I enjoyed this so much. This was so fun.
This was so fun. I'm so glad you came on, and I can't wait to work with you again. Oh my gosh, you're such a star.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. For more beauty content from the team at MindBodyGreen, you can always read along with our content at mindbodygreen.com, follow us on social media, and of course, tune into next week's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you ever want to reach out with questions or insights or thoughts, you can find me on Instagram @Alex_Blair_. Thanks so much for your time.